Welcome to a very late episode of Nerd to an Anime Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you very much for joining me. So I didn't have a podcast episode ready for this weekend because I started going down a rabbit hole, and the rabbit hole took me a few days to climb out of. The rabbit hole I'm referring to is this perplexing question about Moon Knight. Who is Arthur Harrow? Because obviously the Arthur Harrow that we have in this television show is definitely not the character that we first saw in Moon Knight Volume 2, Number 2, where he was a crazy doctor who experimented on unwilling patients. That doesn't sound anything like Harrow in Moon Knight, as well as obviously, he only appeared in one comic and was not a big character. So why would he be the main villain of Moon Knight? So I actually have a theory, or more like two versions of said theory. The first one is, the character that Ethan Hawke is playing in Moon Knight is actually either the Sun King or the Truth, or an amalgamation of both. So we've seen in this series that the creator has shown time and time again that they are very willing to play fast and loose with the source material. Now, that can be argued on both sides as to if that is for the benefit of the story or not, but that's a conversation for another day. With this show, you can see some of the big changes, as in Stephen Grant being a passive vegan gift shop worker instead of a billionaire playboy like he is in the comics. Or what appears to most likely be the new alternate personality that we first saw in this episode, or at least we became aware of it, Jake Lockley, who is the most violent, but obviously not a cab driver like he was in the comics, a calm, cool cab driver. Now, ironically, he did hop directly into a cab, so you could take that what you will. Or like Mr. Knight being basically Steven in the powered up in the suit and not a separate persona, at least that we know of, as he is in the comics, as well as the Liberty with the symbiotic type suit. I will never be okay with that. But again, that's a conversation for another day, or one that I've had quite a few times. Now, obviously, this version of Harrow, like I said, is not some creepy doctor. He's more of a charismatic leader of a following that is, at the very least, borderline on cult status, who has a lot of power. Now, those things sound very familiar to me, and they really shout out to me, dig into this. So when I started to dig, I found a character named Patient 86, or as he's more better well known as, the Sun King. Now, the Sun King first appeared in the Max Bemis run in Moon Knight, number 188, November 2017. Not much is known about the character, who the character was before he became the Sun King, but what we do know is that after being transferred to the Ravencroft Institute, he was being treated by a Dr. Emmett. Who diagnosed him with bipolar disorder. Now, that same good doctor also had a similar and another former patient who she noticed had similarities to this one, and that is none other than, you guessed it, Mark Spector. Side note, there is also a TV spot where Oscar Isaac appears to be in some kind of hospital wing, so we might see that. She also took that connection and decided to introduce Patient 86 to Egyptian mythology. And most importantly, Amon-Ra. Okay, so you with me so far? So, Moon Knight represents the moon god Khonshu. So this leads Patient 86 to become obsessed with Moon Knight because there was a rivalry between Amon-Ra and Khonshu. Khonshu is actually the son of Amon-Ra. Now, on MarvelFandom.com, they said Patient 86 abruptly strayed from his path of healing. He attacked a nurse, and when Emmett confronted him about it, he wrapped himself in flames and revealed himself as the manifestation of Amon-Ra. Now think back to what Harrow said at the end of the episode to the stone statue of Khonshu. Had you not broken me so completely, I might never know the value of healing. Your torment forged me. So now I know that is fairly flimsy. But wait, there's more. After the Sun King amassed a gathering of followers, he relocated to St. Palaemon Island. I'm not sure if I said that right. Which is very similar to what we saw Harrow do at the beginning in that town in the Alps. In that, on that island, he lured Moon Knight and engaged him in a battle of wills. And the Sun King broke Mark's spirit and made him doubt everything he knows. Does that not sound pretty close to what he did to him at that trial in the Ennead? I mean, it sounds to me very similar. Also, a little side note, there was also a comic where Emmett, the god, and Khonshu worked together to try to break Mark Spector. So you see the corollaries here, the two things that seem to be lining up. Okay? Now, however, the biggest thing that points to the fact that Harrow is the Sun King is the fact that he seemed to know exactly what was going on around the same time that the other gods began to summon their avatars as if he was himself a god. He also went into that trial and basically took over, and with absolutely no investigation, he was cleared. Side note, he did not have the cane of Amit either time he was in that pyramid. Notice that. Excuse me. Before he had his closing speech to Khonshu, he definitely looked like he was revered and even feared by that other god that he was talking to in the pyramid when he's like, can he hear us? Side note, also on IMDb, the only one of the avatars for the gods that we saw in that scene that isn't listed as an avatar of a specific god is that character who seemed to be running the whole thing when we were in the courtroom scenario. On IMDb, he's just listed as Selim. And when you click on Selim, nothing shows up. Again, that might be a little tinfoil hat-ish of me, but something seems off. I say all that to make the case that he is actually Amon-Ra and the true leader of this version of the Ennead. You know, in Egyptian mythology, Amon-Ra was the chief god of all the Egyptian gods. So he would have some liberties and probably be in control regardless of who seems to be in control. So that's why I think he is the Sun King. Now we're going to move on and mention that the Sun King also had an associate. Someone by the name of The Truth. Like Patient 86, there is not anything known about this tattooed villain before he got his powers and attacked the New York subway system when he was defeated by Moon Knight. Now, in Moon Knight first thought he was dead and later found out he wasn't and was apprehended by the authorities. Now, he first appeared in Moon Knight 189 of the same Max Bemis run. His main power is called the Truth Touch. Whenever he touches someone, he makes them experience the pervert side of humanity, which is what makes them, quote-unquote, see the truth. If he touches them for a long period of time, they start to bleed from their eyes. Now, the people that get judged, quote-unquote judged, by the cane seem to get drained. So, while not exact, there is proof, like I said, that the creator took a lot of liberties with the source material. Instead of maybe having the eyes bleed, maybe because Disney said, absolutely not, this is a Disney Plus show, maybe he kind of made you feel the truth in your soul, and that's what like killed you or ate you out from the inside. Now, also, side note, in the comics, it was proven that the truth's power don't work well on the mentally unstable, such as our good friend Moon Knight. Remember back in earlier episodes on the show, he tried to judge Stephen Grant and the scales just wouldn't balance. Now also think back about what Layla said to Mark in the truck. He saw right through me. And then Mark said, he's got this idea that he can see the true nature of people. The truth. They also seem to make a point to use the word true as many times as possible. And trust. And like, you gotta trust me and things like that in this episode. So obviously there's far more evidence than the fact that Harrow is actually the Sun King and not the truth. But there is some that also point to the truth. So this leads me to come to the conclusion that this version of Harrow is actually an amalgamation or a combination of these two comic book villains. Also, of course, there is a very, very good chance that I am looking far too far into this, as I usually do. Now, that being said, I have one more thread that I think might tie this bow a little neater. In the comics, both the Sun King and the Truth were in a mental institution. They were broken out and were forced to join the Société des Syndicats, who was basically an evil organization that just wanted to deal as much horrible stuff out into the world as they can. Now, who led this team, you might ask? None other than Ernst, or the Nazi soldier who, while pretending to be a rabbi and family friend to Mark Spector, was secretly a serial killer of Jewish people. When Mark found out this horrible truth, his fighting spirit first emerged, and was also when his split dissociative personality disorder had its first episode, and where these other personalities originated. Now, I say that because the creator responded to a comment on Twitter about how Disney is not a safe place for Jews and all of that, and he said, wait until the last episode, you will not be disappointed. Now, I think he said that because obviously he knows where the show's going to go. In the last episode or the post-credit scene, Ernst will show up, break, quote-unquote, Harrow out of jail, out of the mental institution probably, and he will be the main antagonist of the second season or movie, depending on how they take it, because there is no way, no way, Oscar Isaac signs on for a single season and just some random appearances. I mean, look at it like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There won't be a Falcon and the Winter Soldier season 2, but there will be a Captain America 4 that picks up where that story left off. There is no WandaVision season 2, but that story is going to pick up in Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness. There will be a second season of Loki. Because, again, do you really think that Tom Hiddleston would sign on for one season? Absolutely not. It either was multiple seasons or a season in a movie or something like that. Oscar Isaac is no different because he's a big name and very talented actor. And I want to take a moment here to once again praise Oscar Isaac for the absolute amazing job he has done in this show. I had my reservations, not because of him, because I always trusted he could knock the role out the park. I said that from the get-go. And I still stand by that, even more so maybe right now. I just wish he was a Jewish actor. And now seeing where they've gone with this, maybe it's because they couldn't find a Jewish actor that can knock this role out the park like Oscar Isaac can. Very possible. I will never know unless I get to be one of those uber critics or whatever you want to call them, and can get in touch with people at Marvel and get like interviews with the directors and stuff like that. Because I'll definitely ask. I have no problem asking the tough questions. Hey, did you even try to cast a Jew? That's literally what I would ask him. But that's my little theory in a bow. I believe that now, again, as I said a few moments ago, it's a big possibility that I'm just, as many people are probably, overthinking this. I mean, I've seen theories that Harrow's actually Dracula. I've seen theories that Harrow is actually Mephisto. There we go. Can we get one installment of the MCU without a Mephisto theory? Can we? I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I had my Mephisto theories a couple times too, but I was always able to talk myself out of them because it doesn't seem likely at this point. Now, could it possibly show up in... Could... Absolutely. I feel like Mephisto is around the corner. And here we go. Oh my god, he's Mephisto! But they're clearly working on Midnight Suns team down the line with Blade, the Black Knight, and probably Doctor Strange, and from what I'm hearing, Ghost Rider coming in soon. You can't have Ghost Rider without having Mephisto. Simple as that. I don't care how you slice and dice it. That character's Mephisto. You may not call him Mephisto, but we all know it's Mephisto. Now, you can decide to listen to me. Maybe I'm wrong. I have a pretty good track record with predicting these things. I challenge anyone who hears this. I challenge you to find me a WandaVision theory that was A, made before the series started with just the trailers, B, survived the show, as in was correct, and C, lived longer than the twins did and made it past WandaVision because it had a connection to future properties, i.e. Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. I predicted that Wiccan and Speed, the children of Wanda, will show up. They would not survive the show. And then they would be brought back by Doctor Strange to assist him in stopping Wanda from destroying the multiverse. Because that's definitely, in my opinion, her drive is to find her children. And the Illuminati says, no, you can't. And that's when she says, watch me. And Doctor Strange is going to find versions of her kids, bring them in, which will stop her from destroying the multiverse. I said that from before WandaVision even started. I also accurately predicted that Jonathan Majors would show up in the season finale of Loki before the series started. And I even said that Jonathan Majors was going to show up in not full Kang mode, which is exactly what we got. I predicted the season finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier after episode 1. Now, I didn't really do many predictions for this show because I had such reservations for it. I didn't want it impacting my theories. But this one, I feel like, came out of nowhere, and I kind of feel like it could definitely be accurate. I did a lot of research to back up my theory, like not a lot of people do these days. Now, I also want to note that there was a big time, and I mean big time, Easter egg in this episode. If you look closely at what's on IMDb, it's called the Young Punk, the one that Mark Spector held over the edge, and he said, Amit, and killed himself. On the back of his jacket, there is a symbol. And that symbol was confirmed by new rock stars via someone who worked on the production team of Moon Knight that it is a 100% on-purpose reference to Rama Tut. Now, who is Rama Tut, you ask? Oh, well, if you listen to my podcast, you've heard me talk about that character numerous occasions. First appearing in Fantastic Four, number 19 from the very first Fantastic Four run. Rama Tut was a time-traveling pharaoh who battled the Fantastic Four. It was later revealed that he was a version of Kang the Conqueror. Now, also, think about this. At the Void, what did Kang have there? The Sphinx. So, more than likely, the TVA corrected something that Rama Tut did. Maybe Rama Tut became He Who Remains. Could definitely make the connection there. But also, there's another thing that I've been trying to tell you guys about for a while. I told you, get a Fantastic Four 19 while you can. Because the second that character shows up, that book is going to skyrocket. It's currently, right now, if you look on eBay, you can find them anywhere from around $2 to $1,000 right now. Graded, not graded, depending. That character shows up, even mentioned in Moon Knight. That's $1,000 book. Like that. I keep trying to help, but so few seem to want to listen. I will continue to talk to myself and the select few of you that are gracious enough to give me your time. And I will continue to give you guys the best information and the best theories I can muster. And I'll remember all of you when the powers to be finally notice who the hell Nerdtween is. On that note, thank you all so much for joining me. Please do me a favor. If you like anything, you should give me a follow here, because I do a multi-fandom nerd podcast, and nerd can be anything. I like sports. I have no problem admitting that I wear a sports jersey to a sporting event and act like I'm part of the team and not care what anyone thinks. That's a sports nerd, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the party. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.